This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hello, everybody. My name is Adam Ritz, and we are on board now, The Adam Ritz Show. We cover public affairs coast to coast. We do it with a little smile, and we can do it because of our co-host, Jay Baker, who is an absolute broadcasting pro slash professional comedian. I don't say that enough in your introduction, so I wanted to get that out today. So you better be darn well funny today.
I appreciate that. There is no pressure.
No pressure. Just, you know, when somebody walks up to you and says, hey, be funny, go. It's the hardest time to be funny. So I don't mind if you're not funny at all, as long as we cover public affairs and get some great information to our listeners and our friends and family. Everything will be okay. And I wanted to start today, Jay, with a story out of Hershey, Pennsylvania. I'm sure you've heard of this because you're a sports fan too, and you've done some sports broadcasting in your career. So, you're a man of many hats, and I don't know how in tune you are with minor league hockey, but there's a team in Hershey, Pennsylvania called the Hershey Bears, and since 2001, they've been hosting the Teddy Bear Toss, and that's when the game begins, and all their fans throw teddy bears onto the ice at the beginning of the game. And this happened recently, and we'll put a picture of the teddy bears on the ice on our website connected to this show in podcast form. It's adamritzshow.com. But this year, over 100,000 teddy bears were thrown onto the ice at the beginning of a game, and it translates directly into $100,000 in donations to the Penn State Health Children's Hospital, thanks to the Swigert Family Foundation in Lancaster County. They support this teddy bear toss for the last 10 years, and they donate $1 to the Children's Miracle Network at Penn State Health Children's Hospital, $1 for every teddy bear that's tossed onto the ice. And this year, it was about 102,000 teddy bears on the ice.
Isn't that amazing? And that's great. And then I've heard on the teddy bear toss that the teddy bears themselves go to the kids. Is that accurate?
Well, yes. I mean, what, you don't just scoop up those. I don't think you Zamboni the teddy bears off the ice and just throw them away. I would assume the sentiment is to get a new teddy bear, and the same way with toy donations during the holiday season, you want a new unwrapped toy to give to a toy drive. So I would assume in this sense you get a new unwrapped teddy bear to throw onto the ice, which also goes to needy children. I can't imagine somebody bringing their teddy bear from when they were some 55-year-old guy bringing his teddy bear from when he was a kid. It's old and stained and stinks, and he throws it out on the ice. Maybe it's a good way for you to, you know, when you it's a little spring cleaning. It's purging your, go through your house, get your old teddy bears. Just get rid of, you don't have to throw them away. Just take them to the game and throw them on the ice. They'll take care of it.
That's funny. No, it's cool. You know, hockey's an interesting sport because, you know, you think in terms of fans throwing their hats into the ice rink, you know, when their favorite player gets a hat trick, which is three goals in one game. And there's been some nefarious things tossed onto the ice. So why not do something positive?
Yeah. And I think, you know, like you said, the hat trick tradition, when a player gets his third goal, people throw hats onto the ice for the hat trick. I wouldn't think that they wait for the first goal of the game to throw the teddy bears on, because there is a scenario where, you know, the Hershey Bears could play an entire hockey match and not score a goal.
Now everybody, that's probably more common than we know,
and everybody has to leave the stadium or the arena with their teddy bears in tow back home. So I think it's like right after the puck is dropped. As soon as the click of the sticks on the ice after the puck is dropped, everyone throws the bears. There's amazing video on this. They've been doing it since 2001. I'd love to know how long it takes to sweep up those almost like a curling event in the Olympics. You got to curl those teddy bear off the ice to resume the game. It's got to be at least a 15-minute delay.
Yeah, you would think, but all for a good cause.
All for a great cause, benefiting the Penn State Health Children's Hospital Network. So hats off to the people in Hershey. I do appreciate the tie-in with the team name. It's the Hershey Bears, and it's the teddy bear toss. So I think we're lucky they're not called the Hershey Anvils.
Yes, absolutely. That's funny. Well, as you know, Adam, going to a winter sporting event may help you ward off seasonal affective disorder. Of interest, this is named SAD, and it stands for some of the things that people encounter, some of the mental challenges that you may have, specifically in the fall and winter, and it's usually tied to the reduced daylight periods that you get in the wintertime. You and I live in a part of the world where even in the middle of summer, we don't get as many sunshiny days as other states. In the wintertime, that's compounded. More clouds, shorter days, and people get literally the blues. So we're not making any fun of seasonal affective disorder by saying that. We're just pointing out it can affect you. And if you feel like it's affecting you in a profound enough way, please seek medical attention. There's a couple of different things that you can do, sort of self-help. But they have pointed out that for some people, seasonal affective disorder can become especially profound and involve your mood and productivity and your interaction with others. Adam, do you sometimes encounter a little bit of the winter blues this time of year?
I'm telling you, yes, this affects me. It's the reason I try to visit my parents in Florida several times through the winter, because it is sad. I do get the winter blahs. It is not anything to make fun of. It's the shorter days. It affects my energy level too. I think,
yes,
you know, there will be times when I think it's closing in on midnight, and it's just been pitch black outside for several hours, and I'm like, I'm exhausted. I'm ready to give up. The day has beaten me down, and I'm ready to give up. And I look up, and it's 6:30 p.m.
Yes.
I'm like, how is it only 6:30? So
yeah, you're not the only one.
Yeah, it is a real thing. And, you know, throw in, let's just talk about daylight. If that's the cure for seasonal affectiveness disorder, during the day, through these months, it's still miserable because it's so cold. And we are,
yes,
where we live, we're in a cold spell. The highs in the next few days are, I think, in the single digits. So
you know,
when we wake up in the morning, it's going to be dark outside and it's going to be 0 degrees. And that is not good for your mood or your mental health.
No, but definitely seek some help if you think it is profoundly affecting you. And a couple of things that you can do, they're urging to get exercise, additional sleep, which sounds counterproductive, but believe it or not, by being asleep, you may not be dwelling on lack of light as much. Melatonin can help. That's an over-the-counter, but you know, obviously, use anything that you take anything you take. Always follow the label directions. We can't urge that enough. And then you might try one of these seasonal affective disorder lights. I got one about 5 years ago, and I have found it to be extremely helpful. And it's just something I put on my desk, pop on, and it just sort of simulates, if you will, some of the nurturing you would get from light.
It simulates the sun. It's sort of a yellow glow.
Yeah, yeah, it gives you the whatever the, you know, I should have stayed awake more in science class, but some of the some of the light spectrum that you associate with sunlight, because that's one thing you will find if you've had seasonal affective disorder, is one great bright sunshiny day, you go, oh, I feel so much better.
You know, one of the side effects for me with this seasonal affectiveness disorder is weight gain, because I'm just not as active. I'm not outside as much. I do try to refill that, I guess, energy expense with going to a gym more often. I do in the winter. I go to a gym more than I do in the summer. But I'm still not burning as much calories, even going to the gym more often, because I'm just more active in the right. in the summer. During the longer days, I'm outside more and I'm walking more. We're going to places more, working in the yard more, just more active. And when you're outside being active, you're not sitting on your couch eating more calories. So for me, it's a snowball. I gain a few pounds, right. and then I'm like, what's a few more pounds? And then all of a sudden, it's not even spring yet, and I've gained 10 or 15 pounds. And so I really try to be active during the winter, because it's so hard to do that when it's zero yes. degrees outside and it gets dark at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
And it's somewhat ironic that many things that sort of vex us as human beings, the solution is to go to a gym, get out and get as active as you can. Though I bumped into exactly what you said just now. I was at the gym yesterday and thought, hey, I'm really doing great, but it was a really great day. And my first thought was, I should get a cheeseburger on the way home. And I stopped myself because I said, boy, is that counterproductive. You know, it's like seasonal affective disorder. Pull in the drive-through.
Yeah, but you know, we talk about moderation, and you can have a cheeseburger, especially if you know you just went to the gym. I mean, think about going to the drive-through to get the burger, and not going to the gym. That would be far worse. So I'm not gonna put you on the naughty list just for satisfying your burger.
I'm not gonna hankering. Follow you.
Now, did I hear you say though at the beginning of this that? To combat seasonal affectiveness disorder, to go to a sporting event?
Well, they said that, you know, what you want to do is kind of keep up with your regular, quote, distractions, not to say that a sporting event is a distraction. But like you just pointed out, going to a hockey game is kind of exhilarating. It's a lot of fun. You probably do have a local minor league, if not major league hockey in your town. So give it a try. It's something that can kind of take your mind off the fact that you are counting the days till springtime, because I find myself doing that a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, I would argue that going to the hockey game is a physical activity. I mean, you have to walk from your car into the stadium,
right?
Up the stairs. You know, you're doing stadium steps to get to your seat. You're cheering, your arms are moving, you're standing up and sitting down and standing up. I mean, there's some physical activity that is good for your bones rather than just watching the hockey game on your own couch in your basement.
And you forgot to mention arguing with the people in front of you, you know, because they'll be rooting for the other team.
That burns some calories when you get into a fight in the stands, for sure. It's like going to it's like kickboxing.
Think about what did we get from the show. Go to a hockey game, get in a fight. It's good for you.
Yeah, I'm depressed. Aerobic. I'm depressed in the winter. How do you fix it? Well, just go to a sporting event and get in a fight with the other team's fans.
It's a little aerobic. Hey, here's an interesting note for you, Adam. As you probably have heard, the birth rate in America has gone down, slowed dramatically, but the U.S. population is growing at the fastest rate since 2001. This is according to new Census Bureau data. So it's our government. You know that they know. The nation's population grew by nearly 1% and surpassed 340 million people. So this is good news for all of us. And Adam and I now can only offend 339,999,000 people at any given time.
That is, I've been hearing about the birth rate slowing, so that's good news that it's in the increase column for the first time since when, 2001?
Since 2001, yeah. Kind of interesting.
That's the first year they started the teddy bear toss in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Maybe there's a tie-in.
It could be.
Could be, or maybe not.
Oh, boy. Well, sports betting, as you know, Adam, has become a pretty big thing. It's legal now. Would you say most of the United States? The last figure I saw, there were like 38 or 39 states that participate, allow you to participate in legal sports gambling.
Yeah.
We know it's very popular in the wintertime. As you know, with NHL, you get your NBA. NFL certainly is a very widely bet on league. The reason why I bring this up, they've got a little problem in the NCAA. So even though there's a lot of sports betting there, their problem is if there is a prop bet, a propositional bet for an athlete, some of the athletes are taking heat because you're betting on their personal performance. Have you heard about this?
I do recall, I don't know if it was a Super Bowl or maybe a World Series, but I do recall fans through X contacting a specific player to scream, complain, harass, and threaten because the player didn't perform well enough for the fans to win their prop bets. So I have yes. heard that, that's the really one of the negative aspects of social media is just the harassment. And I know a lot of fans are like, well, they get paid millions of dollars. They're there for our amusement and harassment. They should be able to take it. If you don't want the harassment, then quit and go get a job, driving a truck. But I hadn't heard this specifically with NCAA college players, which is a different thing. These aren't professionals. They're still kids, I guess, in some respect, and maybe don't deserve, 20,000 Alabama fans direct messaging them on how they want to hurt them because they didn't score enough points.
Well, you're not incorrect. And you mentioned a fan base that's particularly emotional at times. The NCAA president, his name, by the way, Charlie Baker, you can contact him anytime if you have some concerns as well, was on Capitol Hill and said that a recent study revealed that 12% of abusive messages players receive via social media come from angry sports bettors. So not only the prop bet, but think about angry sports bettors if they bet that their favorite team was going to win by 3 points, and let's say they only won by 2 points. You and I know the win is a win is a win, but to a sports bettor, it might be lost money.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And that is a motivator for degenerate gamblers to be able to blame somebody else for them losing money, for sure.
They're going to look into this. Currently, 13 states have a blanket ban on all individual player prop bets, both college and pro. 6 states have rules preventing sports books from listing them for student athletes who attend a school in the state, because they feel like that's probably the main problem. If you live in Iowa, you seemingly have a highly vested interest in Iowa sports. So if they ban it in the state, at least they're taking a step forward. And this is just banning prop bets. And, I don't think people are going to necessarily miss prop bets. The initial thing with prop bets, it was supposed to be fun. Remember, it was like, will the national anthem in the Super Bowl be plus or minus a minute 45?
Yeah, yeah.
That used to be fun. It wasn't intended to be like, hey, you held that last note too long. I'm giving you an abusive message.
Yeah, and, Whitney Houston, pre-social media, does that mean that if she had sang the national anthem today, would 12% of her harassing messages be, I can't believe you lost me $1 million because you didn't hold that final note one more second?
See? Yeah, we will. You know, here in America, we take what is supposed to be fun, and what do we do, Adam? We ruin it for ourselves and others.
Now, here's the other side of this that's jumping out at me is, 12% of these harassing messages are related to a gamble loss. That means there's 88% of harassing messages still out there not accounted for. What are those harassing messages about? Just how somebody doesn't like the way they look, or I didn't like your hustle. You didn't hustle on that loose ball. You need to try harder. I don't know what the other, your grades are too low. How about that? What's your GPA? It's not high enough. Absolutely. I am a real sports fan and I care about your grade point average. Get it up, mister.
Well, it is. Like you and I know, the double-edged sword of social media. It's one part's bad, one part's good. Oh. That's what we've always told you. Here's something interesting. Speaking of social media, this got started on TikTok, but it's kind of an important message, and it's an important message on how things spread literally and figuratively. A TikTok theory has reignited, sparking some panic, with gym goers convinced that they can catch chlamydia from gym equipment.
And that's a trend on TikTok.
They're
worried about that. And I don't even know. That's one of the social media platforms I know very little about because I'm in my mid-50s and I'm not 24 years old. So I don't even know. Is it going away? I thought I heard TikTok was getting banned maybe.
Well, there has been some talk. I was getting ready to say you say you don't follow because you're older. You don't follow because you have a real life. And I know that sounds a little abrupt, but you don't have the time to go down that rabbit hole. But yes, you are correct. TikTok, as always, we've said, take with a grain of salt. I know that there is plenty of entertainment, but there's also more than a smidge of misinformation. In this particular case, a number of health experts weighed in and said that the likelihood of contracting chlamydia from gym equipment is effectively zero, noting that the bacteria responsible for chlamydia does not survive well outside the body. That's not to say that, like many sexually transmitted diseases, you can't spread it from, as we like to say, intimate contact. But the ability to get it off gym equipment is almost zero. So if you're worried about that, please worry no more.
I would say if you do get chlamydia at your local gym, you're doing it. You're not working out correctly. You're not using the equipment correctly. Please consult a physical trainer.
You might want to wear more clothing, not less, at the gym if that's the case. One thing they do say, though, is that you should continue to wipe down the machines because there's plenty of little bugs here and there that you can get properly hygienic condition. So take a moment to wipe down your gym equipment. You're doing yourself and those around you a favor. And I know, Adam, you know a lot about the gym. You probably are very good at wiping your equipment down.
Yeah, I'll say since 2020, since the COVID year, most, if not all, gymnasiums and workout facilities have handy wipe stations throughout the gym now. And it is courteous to, when you're done with a machine, use a wipe to wipe down what you've touched. That's just simple courtesy now. So I don't default anybody listening that doesn't do that, that didn't really know that that is a courtesy now. So please be aware when you're done at the gym with a piece of equipment, walk 10 steps over, grab some handy wipes from the dispenser, walk back to your machine, wipe it down. It's just a courtesy thing now.
Yeah, it does good. So please be aware of others, as we always like to say. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit somber, Adam, but I'm going to share with you one of the more profound things I have heard in my life, and I was busy at the time, being a busy adult like many of us are, but somebody had pointed out that at the end of your life, you could have some regrets. And of interest, a woman who is a hospice nurse has shared the top three regrets that her patients share with her as they are preparing to pass away. So we know that this is a part of society. I don't want to get too somber here, but I think these are good life lessons, because while you're super busy now and super engaged, there may be some things that you regret as your life nears its end point.
This is incredible information. I can't wait for this list.
I thought this was great.
This is not that somber. This is something, especially, like I said, I'm in my mid-50s. This is information. The younger you are, the more pertinent this information is to you. So obviously, if you're 80 listening, I don't know how much time you have left to combat these top three regrets. But if you're 20 listening, this is important stuff. Go ahead.
No, I think so as well. One of the biggest regrets is you can't take it with you. Many people wish they'd spent less time chasing material things and more time chasing happy memories.
That is that is fantastic. That is so true. I thought you were going to say, if you can't take it with you, spend all your money now.
I don't think
that's not what you meant.
I don't think with a clear conscience can we recommend that to anyone.
Yeah.
But they said, those two guys on the radio, they said to spend everything I've got and to have fun. Well, no, we didn't really say that.
That's not what he said.
That's not what he said.
Spend more time on making memories rather than acquiring materials. Okay.
Right. I think most people reflecting will think to themselves, a memory of a great encounter or interaction you had with your kids beats having an extra $100 any day of the week. Mm-hmm. The perfect time is now. Not pursuing things because of how long it takes wastes time. Time flies. Then there will come a day when you realize your time is limited and the things you delayed could have happened a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Don't procrastinate. I need that advice for sure.
Well, and I will tell you, I don't say this to be Debbie Downer, but I have reached a point in my life with some neurological limitations. And I will tell you, my ability to climb Mount Everest has gone way down. It doesn't mean that I can't or won't. It just means that I realize I have limitations. And I'm not giving you too absurd an example, because sometimes it can be very simple things. But stop and think about the things that you may not be able to do. If you can, please don't waste time.
And Jay, I think it's important for you to spend all of your money as soon as possible.
Well, that's my game plan. It's funny you brought that up, but I was going to wind my way back around to that. In fact, I'm going to go out and spend some money tonight, but that's another story.
Okay.
I'm taking my wife to dinner, so I figure, you know what, I'm going to spend 10 to 15% of my annual income on her dinner tonight.
On dinner. You can't take it with you, Jay.
Can't take it with you. Hey, and here's her third point. So she just shared with you the three main points that her patients had made, this hospice nurse, about their regrets as life closes down. There's nothing wrong with putting yourself first. In one instance, a woman looked back on the things she didn't do because she was worried about being judged by a neighbor.
Yeah, don't worry about what people think about you.
Yeah, it says, forget about that. Your life is yours to live, so live it. I thought that was great.
Very interesting. All right, and I think fourth on the list is, I wish I would have listened to more public affairs radio. Jay, thank you so much for all of your awesome content. It's just, it's great to have you on the show. Love having you. And for our listeners, if you'd like to listen to the show again or any of our previous shows in podcast form, they are waiting for you on our website, AdamRitzShow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.